Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I begin my second week of teaching on what I've entitled Christian Philosophy Part 2. And for those of you who've been watching the program, Christian Philosophy Part 1 was all about how a Christian should view the Word of God and God as being absolute authority in their life, submitting to Him, that God is a good God, and things like that. This Christian Philosophy Part 2 is talking about how a Christian should view social issues today. And I spent the first 2 days of last week just establishing that it's not wrong for a Christian to have a position and to be vocal with it. Today in our society, they're trying to shut up all of that and relegate Christians to being only inside the four walls of a church or in a pulpit. They think that it has no place in the marketplace, and that's absolutely wrong. And that's one of the reasons, because Christians have been bullied and intimidated, and they've withdrawn, and they're so afraid of being branded a homophobe or some kind of a hate monger that they've shut up the Christian influence to a large degree. And because of this, the ungodly are just having a field day. And so I really felt like the Lord had instructed me after I'd taught on Christian philosophy, on theological type of things. The Lord just really instructed me that Christians need to have a clear definition from Scripture, a moral standpoint on social issues such as homosexuality. And that's what I devoted all of last week to. And then I'm going to also be talking about this week about abortion. And we're going to get into some other things here and just deal with a number of these hot topics from a scriptural standpoint, and also bringing in statistics. And this is what I did last week. On Thursday and Friday, I began to give some statistics from some studies. And, you know, I know that many of you have slept since last week. There's some of these networks that only get my program on a Monday's broadcast. And I just want to quickly go back and review some of these points. I've already used scriptures, and I showed from Scripture that homosexuality is an abomination. And even though the penalty has changed, God no longer kills a homosexual, because under the old covenant, it was like a cancer. There wasn't a treatment for it, so you had to cut it out. It was radical treatment. Now there is a cure for homosexuality, which is forgiveness and faith in the Lord. And so God's not out to kill homosexuals. We shouldn't be doing that. I'm not advocating that. If anybody takes the things that I've said and goes out and does hate crimes and physically hurts somebody or emotionally traumatizes them and does things, that's not what I'm talking about. But it is right that we tell people the truth so that we can turn them from a lifestyle that's destructive. And so here are some of the stats that I've already gone through, and then I'm going to bring up some more and go a little further into it. But I went to one study that found that 43% of white homosexuals had sex with 500 or more partners. 28% of white homosexuals had more than 1,000 sex partners in a lifetime. Now, that is just astounding. And the reason this is so important is because you are trying to be convinced and led to believe that homosexuality is totally normal. They're people that live in the same neighborhood. They drive the same cars as you do. They have a dog. They have a cat. They have a fish. And they're just normal in every way. And the only thing different is it's just two men or two women. That is not true. This is not normal behavior. And to contrast that, we put up graphs and we showed how that like 85% of married women said that they were faithful. 75.5% of men who were married in heterosexual marriages said that they were faithful. And then you go on down, and it was just a very, very small number of homosexual men who were faithful. And to further establish this and verify that it is a perverted lifestyle, that there is no commitment, when you go to states like Vermont that has legalized gay marriages, there's less than 25% of the homosexuals that take advantage of it. And that is the most generous amount. That's basing it on like 2 or 3% of the population of Vermont being homosexual, which is what is the accepted norm. The homosexual community will try and convince you that there's anywhere from 10 to 12 or 13% of the population that's homosexual. And so if you were to take their percentages, well, then the number of homosexuals that actually took advantage of the legalization of gay marriage, it would knock it down to where it was less than 1% of the people ever took advantage of this. And so that is just, it's not true that they are normal in every respect. They're people that have hundreds of partners. And even among the homosexuals who claimed to be in a committed relationship, when they were pressed, what is a committed relationship? That meant that they only had 3 to 5 sexual partners per year. Homosexuality, according to all of the studies that have been done on it, by definition, is not a committed relationship. Being unfaithful, if you want, to your mate is an established, embraced, accepted part of homosexuality. And so it is a perverted lifestyle, and it is not the way that people are trying to present it. Here's some more stats that we've already been through, that the spousal abuse rate among lesbians, it's 11.4% of all lesbians say that they have had their spouse abuse them. You compare that to people who are married, and it's down around 0.25%. I mean, it's like 44 times more spousal abuse among lesbians. And then if you go to the male, I think it was 15 point something percent, if I'm not incorrect, of the homosexual men claimed to have been abused. With the heterosexual male, it was down to just a fraction of a percent. It's like 300 times more spousal abuse among homosexuals. Another thing here, it says that they are 50% more likely to suffer from depression and engage in substance abuse. And all of this is based on these studies. One of them is the BMC Psychiatry Medical Journal. And this is their evaluation that they are 50% more likely to suffer from depression and engage in substance abuse. You can find that report on health24.com. And then 25 earlier studies were all analyzed and compiled in this medical journal from the BMC Psychiatry. And they found that the risk of suicide jumped 200% for homosexuals over people that weren't engaged in that lifestyle. And so I've already gone into more explanation during this last week, but I just wanted to refresh your memory and let you know that contrary to what's being told, homosexuality is not an acceptable lifestyle. It is not an alternative. It shouldn't be an alternative lifestyle. It is a destructive lifestyle emotionally. And of course, I hadn't even gone into the AIDS, but there are sexually transmitted diseases and things that are unique to homosexuals, and somebody is going to criticize that and cite some instance where, you know, AIDS has been transmitted through a transfusion or something. But that is a very minute percentage of people that ever get it that way. The vast majority of people that have had AIDS get it because of a perverted lifestyle in a homosexual lifestyle. And I cite it as an example over in Uganda where they have been preaching abstinence. They haven't been preaching using condoms or something else like that. They have preached abstinence, and they've brought the AIDS rate down to 6% by just starting to be moral and not live like a dog and go around and have 500 to 1,000 sexual partners in a lifetime. I know there's people that take offense to that, but it's the truth. And again, if we could be objective, if people weren't already prejudiced, and if you found something that increased the suicide rate among a certain segment 200%, that increased depression 50%, that increased drug abuse, that increased spousal abuse, I mean, hundreds of times, 300 times. If we were to look at anything like that and take the name homosexuality off of it, if you just had these charts over here and you show that here's what group A does and here's what group B does, and if you showed an impartial group of people, didn't matter whether they were religious, secular, ungodly, whether they were green, blue, yellow, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you took people, and if they were objective, and looked at these statistics, I can guarantee you, if they weren't prejudiced, they would come to a conclusion that we ought to do something to limit this type of lifestyle, because look what it's doing. Twice as many suicides, 50% more drug abuse and depression, 300 times as much spousal abuse, and all of these things. There is no commitment in these relationships. If people were objective, they would deal with that. But the truth is that the homosexual community is not objective. They had an agenda. They are trying to force this on other people. And, you know, here's a question that I've had. I don't know if any of you have ever thought this before. But if a person wants to be a homosexual, I am not for that. I believe it's sin, and I'm warning people and saying it's a destructive lifestyle. But let's just say that a person wanted to be a homosexual. Why don't they just do what it is that they want to do without trying to force me to accept it and to approve of it? You know, really, that is a personal issue. Why would anybody have to tell you that they were a homosexual? It's because they are condemned of their own conscience. They are trying to overcome the conviction that they have in their own heart. And they're doing this by trying to gain acceptance from other people and lull themselves into a position of thinking it's okay. It is not good. And here's a truth that I referred to briefly a week ago, but let me go back into this. It says homosexuals in the United States and Denmark, the latter of which is acknowledged to be highly tolerant of homosexuality, and I've been there, and they are not only highly tolerant, they've passed laws, they encourage it, they're actually actively promoting it. And it says, in these two areas, both die on average in their early 50s or in their 40s if AIDS is the cause of death. And so even without a person contracting AIDS, homosexuals live into their early 50s. And of course, if they get AIDS, then it can be 40. It says, in contrast to this, the average age for all residents in either country ranges from the mid to upper 70s. And so if you look at that, then that means that homosexuality takes at least 20 years off of your life if you don't get a disease. If you get a disease, of course, it can take much, much more. But anything that cuts 20 years off of a person's life ought to be something that is not endorsed and promoted and trying to push it on other people. And that is exactly what is happening today. I read this thing last week about President Obama is actively trying to change the opinion of Americans to embrace and actually promote homosexuality. And he has made statements that he wants to overturn the so-called Defense of Marriage Act and overturn that. And he wants to put out legislation against hate crimes. People would be considering what I'm doing right here a hate crime. And yet what I'm trying to do is to get people to live 20 years longer. I'm trying to limit the amount of suicides. I'm trying to get people free from depression and discouragement. I'm trying to get them out of these relationships where there's no commitments and get them into relationships where they could be committed and enjoy them the way that God meant for them to be. People sit there and they would look at me as I'm speaking hate, but the truth is I'm telling people the truth in love. And there is a move to make that happen. There is a move to start legislating so that I would have to take, in a Christian ministry, have to have employees come in who are openly homosexuals, and I would have to hire them, even though their philosophy and everything they stand for is completely against everything I stand for. I would have to provide their civil partners full benefits, the same as I do a husband or a wife of an employee. And I tell you, that's wrong. And I'm just saying something about it. It's wrong, and I'm going to stand up against it. That is not the way that it's supposed to be. So anyway, the Bureau of Justice Statistics Special Reports, January the 31st, 2002, put these stats out on homosexuality. And of course, there is just a lot more that could be said about it. So anyway, I've tried during this last week, and today is my sixth day that I've been talking about this, just to show from Scripture and also from these stats that homosexuality is wrong. For those who believe God, it ought to be obvious that homosexuality is wrong because God has said clearly that a man is not to have relationship with another man the same way that he has relationship with a woman. It's an abomination. And to prove his opinion on it, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis the 19th chapter. And there's instances like in 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude chapter 1 where it says that what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah happened as an example for us so that we could see God's opinion on homosexuality. God is against homosexuality. He does not hate the homosexual. I do not hate homosexuals. I have people that I've reached out to who've been involved in homosexuality. And even after I found out, they are my friends and I've embraced them. And I have a relationship with them to this day. I am not against homosexualities. But I told those people, I am not against homosexuals, but I told those people I am against homosexuality because it's a perversion. It's wrong. That is not the way God made us to be. And, you know, there may be people watching this program all over the world today that I guarantee you the things have been changed. There have been people raised to believe that we are supposed to be tolerant. And you'll see these signs, celebrate diversity. What they mean by that is, let me be immoral and we're just different. And immorality is not good. Let me show you this verse out of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. It says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And you know, this isn't something that's just for the church or just for us individually to form our own opinions. This is talking about on a nationwide scale. Righteousness, godliness, doing the right thing. Matter of fact, the word righteousness means moral equity. Living a godly life, having standards of right and wrong, will exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And there are people that just want to drive all Christians back inside the four walls of a church and have no opinion and voice no opinion in the public place. But here I am on television and I'm saying for all to hear that homosexuality is wrong. Not only from a religious, biblical standpoint, it's wrong from any way. If you want to evaluate it based on psychology and based on the amount of depression and suicide and drug abuse and spousal abuse and the hurt that it brings, if you want to evaluate it from the way that it shortens a person's life. You know, I made this point earlier in the week, but we put warnings on a package of cigarettes because the Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking can be damaging to your health. And it takes anywhere from 7 to 10 years off of your life. Those are cigarettes. Homosexuality is statistically proved to take a minimum of 20 years off of your life. And if you get AIDS or some sexually transmitted disease, it can take even more off. It's over twice as deadly as cigarettes. And yet, look how cigarettes have been vilified. And people have actually taken lawsuits and come against the tobacco companies and has filed suit and won and had those tobacco companies have to put out all kinds of money to people who've had their lives shortened because of cigarette smoke. What would happen if we were to take the same thing? If there was any justice, if there wasn't a bias and a prejudice, and if people were truly honest, well, then you know what? You could take all of the people that are promoting and advocating homosexuality and you could take them to court and you could sue them and come against them and have them pay out large amount of money for all of the people who are dying of AIDS and stuff because it's being promoted and embraced and that agenda is being pushed. Now, that would be a logical thing to do. I'm not saying that I would do that, but I'm just saying that if we weren't hypocrites, if there wasn't an agenda here, and if people were truly objective with this, I guarantee you, this homosexuality cannot stand. There is not a leg for it to stand on. It is not a godly thing. It's a detrimental thing. And I'm just telling you in love. Some of you may not understand that it's in love. Some of you may think you just instantly lump me in with other people who've gone out and burned abortion clinics or beat up homosexuals, and you think that that's what I'm advocating. I'm saying that the sin is wrong, but I love the sinner, and we reach out to the sinners. Last week, we gave an invitation for people to call in and let us pray with you. And I'm sure that there were many, many people who've been struggling with homosexuality who called in and got set free. You know, I'm reaching out to the homosexuals. I'm trying to tell you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And there's a lot of people that say if you really loved them, you wouldn't say anything. There are some things that you need to feel wrong about. Homosexuality, based on stats, based on facts, is damaging to your health. It's damaging to your psychology. It's damaging to your person. And any measurement that you want, any measurement except what the Gay and Lesbian Fund wants to do, they are misrepresenting facts. But if you go by all of the facts, homosexuality is damaging to your health, to your welfare, to your relationships. And I'm telling you in love that you ought to quit it. You need to get out of it. And the good news is that you can get out of it. It is not something that you are destined to be this way. Man, I've got people in our Bible school. I've got people on staff who were living a homosexual lifestyle. And I mean, they were into it big time. By their own testimony, they had serious problems with this. And they got saved. And they have been forgiven. And they are completely free. I wouldn't do this because I don't want to point them out, but they have given their testimony publicly, and you could go and look at them, and they would verify and tell you that they are happier than they've ever been, that they are totally free, that they have been set free from all of those tendencies. Contrary to what you're being told, this is not in your genes. It is not the way that God made you. God made them Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He did not create you to be a homosexual. You have had some weaknesses and some discouragement. All of us at times get like that, and you just were mentored, drawn in by somebody into something, and you feel trapped in it. But I'm telling you, Jesus can set you free. And it's the truth that's going to set you free. And the truth is that God didn't create you to be that way. You can be different. And if you are a believer, and if you understand and agree with what I'm saying, then I encourage you to be outspoken. I encourage you to start being the salt of the earth. And don't let these things go. You don't have to be mean about it, but you need to speak the truth. It's the truth that's going to set people free. And it's only the truth that they know that is going to set them free. If we stay quiet, many people are going to take that as approval and acceptance. And so I'm telling you that there is a godly position to be had on this subject of homosexuality. Now, today's my last day that I'm going to deal with this part of this teaching in my Christian philosophy. And so if you want this first teaching that I've done against homosexuality from Scripture and from statistics, you need to call or write today. Today will be our last day to offer you this individual teaching on this. We will continue to offer the album. Please listen as our announcer gives you all of that information, and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 2 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1062C or DVD album T1062D when you contact us. The supplemental material Andrew mentioned will also be included with each album. The second teaching in the CD album titled Homosexuality is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP8C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled The Believer's Authority, is available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy.
Today is going to be my last day to offer you this second teaching in our Christian Philosophy Part 2 album. And this second teaching, of course, has been devoted to exposing homosexuality from Scripture and also from statistics. Even some of them from the great Gay and Lesbian Fund, some of their own statistics showing you the damaging, hurtful effects of a homosexual lifestyle. I believe that not only is this good for you to know, but you need to know this so that you can be established, but so that you can help counter these false things that are being said today for other people. Our culture needs to hear the truth about this, and I encourage you to please get these materials. Today's our last day to offer you this second teaching.
You can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our ministers' conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers. Mm-hmm. Whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our ministers' conference.
And we'll see you there.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs this week for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. And in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar, December 31st through January 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Join us tomorrow for Gospel Truth as Andrew continues his teaching titled Christian Philosophy.
I know that when it comes to the abortion issue, a lot of people, they are going to believe what they believe regardless of what the Bible says, regardless of what I say. And I think that one of the reasons that a lot of people are really so pro-abortion is because it's convenient. It fits their lifestyle. They don't have to be responsible. They don't have to practice control. They go out and they just use abortion as if it is birth control is what it amounts to.